I now call, or
go
my
for
bad.
it.
I now call this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to order. I'm Tyler Riley, Captain ACAB.
I'm Melissa Maley, the spy.
I'm Tristan Miller, new name pending.
Excellent. I think a couple of years ago, or many years ago, we mentioned how I always go second. And I like how that's continued. Either one of you can call it to order, but I must go second one of these days. I feel like I've done it before.
Yeah, how did, like, that's such an unconscious thing, but it has been a thing.
I don't know. I feel like my nickname lends itself to going second. The spy.
Well.
Okay, let's try it. I now call this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to order. My name is Melissa Maley, the spy. Does it feel?
Oh, ew.
Yeah, it's just sounds wrong.
My tummy.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I just get confused. Good. Like, then who goes? If you're not second, who goes?
Right? No, we have to keep it. I'm always second. Good.
Tyler and I in the middle of the street. Who's gonna pull the gun first? It's high noon. We're both sweating. We're watching from the windows.
Oh, goodness. So if this makes it to video, I have a library behind me.
Yeah.
Because I am at my dad's house and I am working in the library. It's very nice. And this will be the last recording, hopefully, where you get this very washed out version of me because I'm going to get a new computer. Exciting stuff for our subscribers, I guess.
I also would have brought a better light if I knew that this is going to be the video bit, but...
Well, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Tyler, you don't need a better light.
Aw. Or, like, maybe not aw, unless you mean that it's better I'm not seen. But I think you meant the former.
I did mean the former. I'm not mean.
That's true.
That would be very out of character.
And admittedly, it would be funny if you did something like, if you had a heel turn. Like that, that'd be very funny.
Yeah, Melissa just roasted me out of nowhere. Like, I'd be mad, but I wouldn't be mad.
Yeah, that's fair. That makes sense. You should get tickets to Tristan's show on May 4th.
Yeah.
And
Caveat in YC, and it's also being live streamed.
Oh.
Ooh.
So you can get virtual tickets.
If you're anywhere. Yeah. Couple
Which
of those
means that I need to send Tristan something before I forget to do it.
Oh, good.
I love these.
Yeah.
Oh my. Tyler, what is it this that you sent me? I can't. What?
Oh, well, I sent it to everybody.
Oh, okay.
Accident. Where did you get this JPEG? What is this? Oh God, is this the Declaration of Independence?
Oh,
no.
Yes.
I will do
Nick
that.
Cage has that.
Oh, yeah. Nick Cage does have the Declaration of Independence.
That is what happened, right? I have not seen those movies.
No, neither have I.
Yeah.
Okay.
He does do it. I saw it twice in theaters. You guys are both cowards. Can you please?
I watched the series because Catherine Zeta-Jones was in it.
For the longest time, I thought Catherine Zeta-Jones was from Mexico.
Because you watched
Mask of Zorro.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Ugh.
The same way I thought Mandy Patinkin was from
Spain.
But I thought his name was Manny Patinkin, like Manuel.
Yeah. My dad's name is Manny, but.
Oh.
Yeah. Did you know that? Yeah.
How many are there?
He goes by Manny. His name is Emmanuel. It's actually on his birth certificate as Emanuele, and his middle name is John. Not Giovanni, but John. So it's Emanuele John.
I mean, that's a good play on his parents' part, in as much as if he needed to appear less specific, he could go by John.
He generally shortens it. I mean, he goes by Emmanuel without the E at the end, you know, in his official stuff, but he goes by Manny to his friends. And I call him Dad.
Oh, good for you. You can go to patreon.com/ADCpod. We got a bunch of bonus episodes there and bonus context. A huge backlog, it turns out, as we were sorting out. Recently, we put an episode from 2020 up, and both Melissa and I were staggered with the amount of episodes we had recorded and forgotten that we had done.
The year 2020 was wild. We didn't have anything to do. We just recorded podcasts.
Yeah, and then we did so much those 2 years that we didn't do a gosh darn thing last year.
That's right.
Or whatever that was.
Took a year off. We had a gap year. It's fine.
We had a gap year in our podcast. Yeah,
did we just come back this year? Like, gosh, it already feels...
Well, it's been 3 months. We need to work on a backlog again. Well,
we are like we're a quarter of the way in, just about.
Yeah, a full quarter of the year. The worst quarter. I hated January.
I don't know about that this year.
Oh, exciting! We're gonna make it worse in a different quarter. The winter isn't gonna drag us down the most.
We're waiting for your heel turn in Q3, Melissa.
That would be when it would happen.
I appreciate you using heel turn, especially as I am to go to WrestleMania this weekend at the time of recording.
Yes, exciting times.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is back. He's wrestling in the main event of night one.
Who's he?
There's two nights of WrestleMania.
What?
This year.
Two nights of WrestleMania? My goodness.
It's been 2 years, two nights since the pandemic. It's just too much for one night.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, actually. Yeah.
And so, like, I will get probably like a cumulative 14 to 15 hours of pro wrestling in this weekend.
Oh,
and
my
I'm
gosh.
So excited.
That's exciting. The year I went to WrestleMania, I also went to a bunch of indie shows the same weekend. So I saw some Ring of Honor and Chikara. And then I went to WrestleMania.
Was Effie doing Effie's Gay Brunch at that time?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
That sounds fun, though. I mean, anything that says gay and brunch in it sounds exciting.
And it is. I've only seen it streamed 1 year, and it sold out before I could get tickets to it this year. But it's like all the queer wrestlers, like that are indie wrestlers, like come on this one card.
Oh, I love that. Is there actually brunch, though, also?
That I couldn't quite tell. I'd be very pissed if there wasn't.
Right? Like, I need a mimosa and some waffles or something.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, is that blood? Is that ketchup on my eggs? Who's to say?
Right, that's fun.
Know, that's the kind of environment that I wished.
in my mind, the event was as follows. Like, a wrestling match. In like the style of the tea party from Alice in Wonderland, where there's like a big table, everyone's ordered brunch, and they're like throwing each other on
like
the
a
table,
food
like
fight
God.
Is what you were each other's heads.
That would be really fun, actually.
Yeah, it would be. It's like a big food fight, you know, like Hook. Remember Hook?
Oh yeah, that's right. No, I actually vividly remember.
You would
that.
Have to have an intermission at that point, then, because you have to like clean.
Oh, well, no,
but like, I don't feel like that's like a main event type thing.
No, that
but I feel
that's...
like that's, yeah.
I mean,
I
you
like
could
that's,
open
I feel
with
like
that.
A good like cool down, but, or maybe there's like an interview segment that happens like on the ramp or something.
Oh man, yes. Okay, here's we're really starting to get into the.
Oh gosh, yep, we are.
No, but here's the great thing about the brunch thing is we just have all the perverts come in afterwards and eat the stuff, the food off the floor.
I thought you were going to say off the bodies.
Well, both. You know, whatever works, you know. Just have a bunch of weirdos come in and lick the floor clean, you know. People will pay you to let them do that sometimes.
I bet they would.
Gosh.
People like all sorts of things.
People
That's true.
Do.
Yeah.
And yet I'm alone.
And I guess if it's not harming others, I shouldn't yuck someone's yum.
Exactly.
A literal yum.
Ugh. I mean, I just did it.
You just did it again.
I didn't do any.
You literally yucked the
So today we're covering the finale of season 2 of Only Moita's in the Building. It's called I Know Who Did It.
Yes.
To quote Mrs. Gambolini.
And spoiler alert, Mrs. Gambolini did not know who did it.
No.
Debatable.
Of course not.
Oh, that's true. That's debatable. We don't know that for
actually,
sure.
You know, here's the thing. Actually, I'm on team Gambolini new.
Yes.
Yes.
We've been converted.
Because of reasons I will get into later. Melissa, you're the one that takes notes. Can you start?
Yeah, sure. I was gonna.
I also know what happened.
I barely remember it, and I watched it literally 45 minutes ago, and I'm like, I remember I laughed a lot, which is great. There's a couple of bits I remember that are very good.
Yeah, I only had a chance to watch once this time, so I actually might watch it again so that I can laugh too.
What an interesting way of approaching a comedy series.
No, just because when I have to take notes, it's kind of fast and furious.
I guess we'll get into it in my thoughts, but I...
Okay, all right.
I do keep forgetting it's a comedy.
Damn.
First.
Brutal. Steve Martin, first, Martin Short like, found dead in the ditch.
You know
in
what else?
We'll get into it.
Only murders in the building.
So we start off and we're on Poppy / Becky. And there's
with
a
the bad hair.
Becky with the bad hair. Exactly. It shows her living a pretty miserable life. She is working for the mayor, who is a perv, probably.
Most definitely.
Definitely a perv. And she has a mean dad that she has to take care of for something. It's not a good situation. Becky's got a rough life. And we hear her listening to one of Cinda Canning's podcasts. She looks her up and she Googles how to disappear.
I would like to bring something up that I
please do
in the group chat yesterday, day before yesterday, when I realized that Cinda Canning's name is syndicated.
Oh.
And I was like, I can't believe it's been 2 years and two seasons of her being there. And I'm now just getting it. What a fool I've been.
So
it'll be my April Fool.
That was yesterday.
I apologize for that.
You heard that and you were like, that wasn't my best
work. Yeah.
Wasn't my best work. We see her cut her hair. It's a very, very loud snip. And then we cut to a reporter talking about Becky's disappearance.
Sorry, just a quick note, if I may, about the report. That I found interesting was that in the lower third, the reporter talks about the need to bring in outside help. Like, it's not just the local team that's looking for Becky and this disappearance.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big deal because they can't find her anywhere. So then we see Poppy meeting Cinda for the first time, and she's got her long, dark hair and bangs, the Poppy that we all know. And she gives Cinda the idea for All Is Not Okay in Oklahoma, because all is going to be okay or something like that is the mayor's slogan. So she's doing a spin on it. And yeah, she just hands her all the information about Becky's disappearance. And of course, she's not indicating that she is Becky. She is fully in the role of Poppy at this point. Cinda says, oh, is she missing or dead? And Poppy says, well, she's missing. And Cinda says, she's got to be dead. She has to be dead for this, preferably murdered by that mayor. Later down the line, it gets very popular and we're seeing Cinda get interviewed and she says, you know, the credit really goes to, oh, hey, Poppy, can you get me a sandwich?
But not really a sandwich.
No.
Just some turkeys and tinfoil, but some bread on the side.
Yeah. The most
brilliant order.
It's very, it's something. It's really, truly something. A turkey sandwich with, it's just turkey. Cinda is having
a delicatessen sandwich. Do you enjoy turkey?
If I'm getting it from a deli, I will not get a turkey sandwich.
I usually like get turkey, but like other meats. Like it's usually like a turkey and bacon situation.
Mm.
It's usually like, it's not usually just turkey. It's usually like a honey smoked turkey. Like I like a smoked, I don't like a roasted.
Oh, okay.
You drive a bird outside a sandwich. Like if you were
you're
like,
just
here's
saying,
a turkey.
You just ain't turkin', right?
So yes, Cinda is frustrated with the success of Only Murders in the Building season one. And she says she cannot be a one-hit wonder. She can't have a flop for a next season. She says, I will not be podcast Nickelback.
Why Nickelback out here catching strays 20 years later? Leave them alone.
Yes. Number one. Yes, Tyler. It's a bad hack joke.
Mm.
Number one. Let's talk about it. It's
my God.
It's a terrible joke and really just stinks up what is an interesting cold open. And two, Nickelback is incredibly successful. It's also just inaccurate. It should have been like, for example, the Baha Men would have made sense.
See, and this is how you
they
remind
got one
them.
Song. Exactly. And then you could have ended the series on Who Let the Dogs Out, and it would have been funny.
Yeah, that would have been funny. It's like I would have laughed at that.
I would have as well. The Baja Man as a concept, pretty funny. I had that whole album. Don't remember any of the other songs.
Oh, goodness.
I got my panties in a twist about that one.
You sure did. Cinda is jealous and she needs a new good murder. Poppy mentions the disappearance of Rose Cooper, and Cinda goes, an artist? Ugh. No, thank you. We've left it at that, and we cut to the trio in present day, and they are musing about Cinda's motivations because at this point, after all of the stuff that went down with Kreps, they have determined it is Cinda Canning who has killed Bunny, or she's at least the mastermind behind everything. Did she kill for a hit podcast? How do they get a confession? Mabel has suggested that Poppy is probably the key.
And Steve Martin does a very old bit, but one that he does very well, and it did make me laugh, where he's like, my plan is, I'd hope by the time I'd finished my sentence, I would have found out a plan. And he deploys it so well that I it did make me laugh, which I was surprised at. It was specifically having just said a Nickelback reference is old and hackneyed, when that I think the difference is, like, Tina Fey knows better, whereas Steve Martin's so old. How old is he? He's so old that he's still doing that
But did
joke.
Tina Fey write her own part?
I'm assuming she did, or had at least a couple of notes, Tyler. At the very least, she could have had the power to go, I don't think this Nickelback joke works.
I feel like it's one of those things that it's like, ah, this is a dated reference, or as opposed to, this is a classic.
Yes, 100%. Because, like, that, yes, a plan will come to me by the end of the sentence is like from Commedia dell'arte. It's like so old.
How old is it? Okay. Tristan, you're really rubbing off on me.
Well, you know.
Stick around long enough. So they're trying to figure out how are they going to get a confession, and we then go to the credits. We're at the Pickle Diner and we're meeting with Poppy, the trio. By we, I mean the trio. And she's very reluctant to throw Cinda under the bus, but they have an extensive conversation about things that frighten her and Cinda, things that frighten Cinda. They do confess, by the way, that they know that she's Becky.
Well, Poppy told Mabel last episode. So Mabel told the other two.
Yes, of course. That is exactly what happened. She confessed that. So they're having this discussion with Poppy, trying to find ways to frighten Cinda. Cinda's afraid of slow motion. Cinda is afraid of the inside of a tomato. All
Which
these.
also apparently affects Oliver.
Yes.
Tristan, is that now more in the you call?
I did mostly have dips for food today. So there is, I had a lot of hummus. So there is that. Martin Short does do this great bit where he's like, yeah, tomato in general is just awful. Imagine the inside of it. Ugh. It's such a weird bit.
Yeah, that it is. Poppy gets a phone call from Cinda and rushes back, and she gets a sandwich for her. Mabel gets a phone call, and Detective Williams, Academy Award winner, Divine Joy Randolph, I think. Is that correct? Yes, Academy Award winner now, has been looking into what was on the knife, what was the DNA on the knife. And Mabel sits back down and she's shocked and she says she thinks she knows what 14 Savage means.
This it's like the sandwich is like liverwurst and marmalade or
Yes.
something.
Like toasted, like sounds pretty fire.
Be good. I've never had marmalade.
Well,
Oh.
you marmalade to
Oh
the
boy. Can I tell you what I did recently have last year for the second time in my life? That's
party.
Vegemite. You ever
Oh,
had Vegemite? It's gross, dude.
yeah.
I can imagine it being pretty good, like on a spread that's like a savory sandwich, but I feel like it's just misdeployed, and maybe I'm gonna catch a lot of heat from my huge Australasian fan base here. Yeah, but I had it when I was down there, and it was very funny because the woman I was staying with, Suzanne, she's always like, people always expect it to be sweet despite it being called Vegemite, and we always are like, we don't know what to tell you. It's not like Nutella. I don't know.
Why would you
think
that? I didn't
know that that's what the trouble was. I didn't realize that that's what the trouble was. I never expected that to be anything remotely sweet.
No, neither did I. Goodness.
People kind of pitched it as like Australian peanut butter. And so the assumption of like, oh, it's a spread, it must be a little sweet and salty and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Huh.
Okay, I guess I can kind of see that. Sucks to suck, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Again, I would have another go at it to be certain, but
sure, in a better circumstance.
Yeah, than just eating it straight out of the jar for a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, that does not sound ideal. So
it was pretty grim.
Everyone has gathered back in Bunny's apartment, and it's serving parlor reveal. And apparently someone has said,
giving Poirot.
Yeah, it's giving Poirot. I guess they had titled it, "Hey, please come to our killer reveal party." So there's much discussion of like, is it a killer reveal party or is it a killer reveal party? So are they revealing a killer or is it a killer of a reveal party?
Yeah, which fair question, especially if you don't know how to dress for such a function.
True. I mean, who would know how to dress for that?
Not cardigan, spoiler alert.
What is cardigan? What is Howard wearing?
He's wearing a bow tie and a cardigan.
As it turns out. And he's there with his new boyfriend, Jonathan.
That's true.
That is true.
I don't know if they've labeled anything.
Well, that fair enough.
I was being shitty.
They do seem very together. Oliver comes in and tries to recruit them to do like a theater piece over a live stream to coerce a confession.
Which is giving Melissa at this point. So we're like really, we're scooting one way and then we're scooting another.
Okay, just because I would recruit people to do a theater piece?
Yeah. Yeah, out of the two of us? Yeah.
I don't know, like, I feel like that's more my territory, but, like, I also don't that's think true. This that's is me, though. Yeah.
No, not in that way. Not in the way Oliver does it.
Who here is acting experience? And it turns out Cardigan auditioned for, but did not get Joseph the Technicolor Dreamcoat, despite his mother being the director, which is quite good.
That's funny.
As someone who was homeschooled, that hit me right where I lived. But then it turns out the doorman went to Juilliard.
That's great.
And I developed a drinking problem and then had to like redo his whole life. And everyone's like, well, that was a huge bummer, but I guess we have to keep going.
No, I thought he gave it all up for his love of being a doorman.
That's the first thing he said. And then they were like, really? No, of course not. Absolutely not. Yeah. No, it just went all downhill. Poor thing.
Pretty classic joke, too. Heard that a million different ways, but really well deployed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was great. Loved that. And then, of course, Jonathan says that he's on Broadway currently, and Oliver perks up. And then he says he's a hyena in The Lion King, and Oliver's like, all right.
The actor that plays Howard does a really fun thing where he goes, he's a hyena, and then he gives a little laugh that sounds like a hyena's laugh. It's like a little, here's a little embellishment. I'm like, oh, I can tell that, like, he was like, when he was reading his sides, he was like, you know, it'd be funny.
Yeah.
A little of this.
Sure. Absolutely. Like, you
know, little Emerald Bam on top of it.
Yes. They set up the camera to do the live stream, and Cinda and Poppy enter. Cinda thinks that Mabel is going to confess. She says, you're the killer, Miss Mora. Cinda wants Poppy to put on her recording equipment as well. So everything gets set up. And then right before they're about to sit down, Alice enters late. The trio starts...
Also, Cinda is confused as well as to whether what kind of killer reveal party this is.
Yes, exactly. The bit goes on. Alice comes in and then they start the recording. They start the theater reenactment piece. And the trio is narrating the sequence of events of the absolute wild stuff that happened on the night that Bunny died. But who would have framed them? They're on to Cinda. They start to try to freak her out by going in slow motion, which she is afraid of. And then
when
it's
I tell
extensive.
You, I laughed so hard at that. It's so stupid. It had me. I missed lines afterwards because I was laughing hard at that. Stupid, stupid bit. And I'm so happy they did it.
I love that for you.
The mugging during it is so funny.
But this also, for me, was a moment when watching it where I was like, oh, yep, I do see the dynamic now. I am Mabel. Because y'all two would absolutely be the ones to start, and I would wait till the last possible minute to join into the nonsense.
I guess Tristan was right all along.
There it is. Victory laugh for me. I will be sitting out for the rest of the pod. Have fun, you two.
If I'd known that, I would have said that in episode 3.
The thing about this slow motion bit is that it goes on for such a long time and it is so involved, which is why it is so funny, because if they hadn't like fully committed to that, it would not have hit the same way. It was so, it was really, really stupid. It really was.
Yeah, we do get these, like, I hate to call them lovely, but like we get like fun. We get these fun like close-ups of like the side yeah. characters as well, like getting into it, and they have their moment, like Jackie Hoffman's character, Cardigan, and a couple of others.
Yes.
Yeah, they're all contorting their faces and bodies into these grotesque shapes, and it's like, yeah, I understand why this would be frightening, actually.
Yeah, for real.
After the doorman gives his monologue, by the way, he accuses Cinda of murdering Bunny, and he like post, and you murdered an old lady, my only friend. And like, he's like really worked up. And Oliver just turns to him and goes, he's wonderful. And I'm like, yeah. It was a very solid, like, what's so nice about that bit as like a, from a joke structure is like, you have it that in the beginning of like, oh, I went to Juilliard and you know, that turnaround. But then for it to be set up to a different punchline later on as well, and then also have the actor be good at acting is really nice.
I remembered, because he found and just said that she didn't know Bunny, and he was like, no, I know the logbooks, you definitely were there, you saw her before she was murdered, like tying her to the scene of the crime,
right?
And that's like the impetus for the monologue.
Absolutely. Then after the slow motion montage, I guess, they cut a tomato in front of her as they're talking about it. I don't even remember what they were saying, because they start cutting this tomato so slowly and just waving it in front
of
Cinda.
All I remember is like Steve Martin just overemphasizing big, juicy, and like his the way that his mouth and face works. Like, you know what I mean. Like,
yes,
100%.
You've seen Steve Martin before. You know what he was doing.
Steve Martin.
Yes. Also, then they start squeezing the two halves of the tomato in both hands. It's wild. It's truly wild. It's very broad. I loved it.
When Steve first brings it out, doesn't Cindy go, "What the hell is that?" And then he reveals it like it's under something, and it's a tomato, and she goes, some solid. It's so stupid. It like, it feels like, I don't know, I'm gonna talk more about this at the end, obviously. It like, it feels like, oh, we're finally in a comedy movie, you know. I feel like we got there. We could have been doing this the whole time.
So they're pressuring her, and Cinda says, you know what, that's it, I am done with this, but I'm not gonna confess. And that's because, and Mabel cuts in and she says, it's because she didn't do it. It wasn't her. And then she turns to Alice, who is in the back of the room on the other side.
Selena Gomez line read there, Melissa, by the way.
Thank you. She accuses Alice. She says, you needed money. You needed attention for your artist co-op. You wanted to bring me in, so you set me up for murder. 14 means you the $14 million you needed for the painting of Savage. Isn't that what she says? That I didn't quite catch the thread of. Is that what it was? Yeah.
Well,
go like ahead, it more or less is.
Okay. Yeah, something like that. And then Alice starts going off on her and they are insulting each other's art. Then Alice stabs Charles in the stomach.
And the whole world slows.
Yes, yes. And he is bleeding and he collapses to the ground. It's terrible.
It's like, Poppy, are you recording still?
Yeah.
And Poppy is.
So they cover Charles with a shroud, basically, like a tarp.
Where did I put my funeral shroud here?
It's like a white tablecloth or something. I don't know. But it's white, so it gets
I know what funny. I'm getting you for Christmas.
A shroud? Okay. Great. Looking forward to that. So
you know that's why ghosts are made out of sheets, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. I do like the one size fits all appeal, but
yeah, that's why ghosts are made out of sheets. Because
Actually just saw a meme or something about who decided that ghosts wear sheets, but there and there we go. That was like yesterday. So psychic.
Ooh, interesting.
That's one thing no longer shrouded in mystery.
There you go. That was pretty good. Okay, so Cinda turns to Mabel and says, I want you on my staff. You are so smart. You've really worked this murder out. Like, what can we do to get you on as a podcaster and like a researcher? And Poppy absolutely loses her shit.
As someone who has been passed up for a promotion before, relatable.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, I saw a video this afternoon on the Instagram that I believe was at one point a TikTok. And this gentleman was like fired from his job at like a Costco or something after he had just finished restocking. And then he just started like destroying, like just pushing things over. And I'm like, I get it. But baby, you know that's coming out your last check.
Yeah, that's true. You got to wait till after you get your last check.
Yeah.
Then you can come and throw things off the shelf.
Then you can commit arson. Yeah.
Oh, arson. All right. Yes.
Who said arson? Hmm?
What?
Carson? Carson Daly?
Carson.
Was he in the episode?
He wasn't, but a lot of people were. And you know who wasn't in the episode? Amy Schumer.
Yep. Right? Oh, we gonna get into
it. Yeah, we're gonna get into it. So Poppy was the one that told Cinda about Rose Cooper, but Cinda wasn't interested in that. Everyone turns around and we're talking to Poppy now because Poppy is losing it. Poppy is talking about how she had all of these ideas, but then she starts sneezing and Mrs. Gambolini is back in the apartment. And Lucy had said that the killer sneezed when they got out of when they were in the tunnels, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So Poppy is allergic to birds, we find out. It all starts to unravel. It was Poppy. Poppy was the one who orchestrated this. Charles rises from his bloody blanket because it was, in fact, a blood pack. The whole thing was staged to get Poppy's goat. They realized it, the diner, once they got the call from Detective Williams, because
he ran the DNA. And
yes.
The DNA was from someone in Oklahoma.
And Mabel says,
yeah, they're like, how'd you know? I was like, I know everything now. Huzzah.
Yeah. Mabel said, let me guess, it was Becky Butler. And William says, that's right. Poppy starts reverting back to her Southern accent, to her Becky accent, by the way. So the saliva was from Becky. She was, in fact, the one to do the whole thing because she needed to get a new podcast for Cinda. She needed to keep it interesting. She needed the credit. She wanted to get recognition. Cinda shakes hands with Charles and Oliver. And then Detective Williams shows up, and Cinda, not Cinda, but Poppy and Kreps is there now too. And Poppy and Kreps are both under arrest because we get the flashback to the Kreps moment at the bar in Oklahoma. He does see Cinda first, but then he turns his head and he sees Poppy. And that is, in fact, the woman that he has been involved with. The
The
woman.
smartest woman in the world.
They planned the whole thing. They did it together. They did the murder. The trio wraps up their podcast, the Only Murders in the Building podcast, season two. Cinda wraps up her Only Murderers in the Building podcast as well. And after the wrap of the
Then Oliver
podcast,
says, "Well, now we can just talk to each other about normal things and not murder." And everyone's like, "Oh, yeah."
And then they
And then
stand
time
there.
jump, right?
Actually, first, before we get a
Oh, you're
time,
right.
it's a shorter time jump. We get to set, and Charles is back on Brazos, and they've decided that he does not need to, his dementia is in remission, and he does not need to be in the wheelchair anymore because everyone loved his character. So Uncle Brazos is back. He's got a job. He starts grunting at his cute makeup artist, Joy, and she understands what he means.
Had a solid bit. Coming from
Yeah.
anybody else, you'd be like, "Oh, this is so stupid."
But Joy knows that he's asking her out
Also,
finally.
and they kiss. It's very sweet. And also, Lucy now works. Apparently, has a job as a PA.
Oh.
As they're walking down, she has like a headset on and a walkie. And I was like, "Okay,
That's
good for
right.
her."
Oh
So is
gosh.
Lucy a
Hope she's
nepo
getting
baby?
paid. Yeah. I mean, that's how does anybody get into film production? Someone
Right.
pulls them into it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Alice is back in Mabel's apartment, and she's with Mabel, and they are covering up the mural that Mabel worked so hard on with paint. And I guess, okay, I guess it's a new start or whatever. Beautiful mural, feels wrong to cover it up, but sure, that's a resolution to that. Will comes over to Oliver's apartment. We see the most wonderful bulldog. And then Mrs. Gambolini is also there, and Will is checking her out because he's a vet, of course. So Oliver is about to confess to Will that Will is not indeed his son. And he cuts him off at the pass and says, "Dad, if you're not my father, then I don't know what a father is." It doesn't matter
Well,
to Will,
clearly.
right? It doesn't matter to Will. He knows, but Oliver will still always be his dad. Then Oliver gets a phone call as they're hugging. He's like, "I don't need to get it." He says, and Will says, "Just get it. It's fine. Just answer the phone call." He answers the phone call, and it's a producer who Oliver owes money to, but that's not the point of this conversation. The point of this conversation is that she has a Broadway show and lost the director, and it's going to open on Broadway in about a year. And he says, "Who's the main actor?" And then we get a time jump, and we are backstage at a Broadway theater, and Oliver is with Ben, played by Paul Rudd.
And also, we are
And
not at a Broadway theater. It is definitely the United Palace in the Heights, but
oh yeah.
okay, Steve.
It's masquerading as a Broadway theater. It's playing the part of a Broadway theater. The United Palace, by the way, is beautiful.
Is a
Wonderful
gorgeous,
space.
gorgeous place.
Yeah. Big fan. It becomes clear that there's a conflict between Ben and another actor. Oliver says, "You know, just use it for the part. We've got to get through tonight. We've got to get through the show." He gets out onto stage. The curtain's not quite ready to go up, and we see Charles walk on. And it becomes very clear that Charles is the actor that Ben is having the huge conflict with.
Real quick,
Yes.
who do y'all think they thought we were hoping it was going to be?
The actor that Paul
In
Rudd's
role as
having the.
Ben?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Like, do you think they thought anyone was going to think it was going to be anyone but Charles?
Oh,
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
I didn't know.
No, I honestly, it didn't occur to me until I was like, "Oh, that makes perfect sense." But I wasn't thinking ahead. I was just being like, I was thinking about other things for other reasons.
Fair. So when Charles is on stage before the curtain goes up, he says to Ben, "Be smart, stay away from her. I know what you did." So then we cut to the audience. Mabel climbs into a seat next to Lucy. Joy is on the other side of Lucy.
I know I say this like once an episode. I said when Selena Gomez showed up in that dress, I said out loud, apropos of unprompted, "Oh my God, he looks so good. It's insane."
Yeah, she looks great. And then Oliver joins them in the aisle seat.
A little scarf, very cute.
Yeah, love a little scarf. Very artistic feel. We have a curtain up on Ben, and he says his first line, and he falls over, and he's having trouble getting some words out. He collapses, and he has mouth blood, which obviously means he's dead. So
yeah, that means he has TB, I believe.
Yeah. If I learned anything from Moulin Rouge. Oh my God, did we just say it at the same time?
Oh. We're back.
There we go. And then Mabel, who had just been talking about how nice it is to not have a murder to deal with, rises from her seat and says, "You've got to be fucking kidding me." And that's the end of the episode and the end of the season of Only Murders in the Building.
And it ends on a yodeling version of the main theme, which I found very silly.
So fun. Silly.
Quite charming.
Indeed.
Who are you telling?
A very intriguing cliffhanger for us for next season. I don't know why, until the very end, I didn't realize we were going to get a cliffhanger for next season. But then as soon as it ended, I was like, ah, yes, we're going to get the preview of season 3, aren't we? That's how they do. So let's weigh in. Y'all. What do we think?
Tyler, you've seen this twice. Once half asleep.
Oh, yeah, it was so hard last time when y'all were talking about, like, oh, yeah, Senda, yeah. And I was just like, oh, y'all don't even know.
No. So when did you wake up? At what point,
like,
was it?
Literally, Senda walking into the apartment.
Oh.
Like, I just saw the reveal.
Oh, my gosh.
Very funny.
So, yeah, I mean, keep that in mind with this rating. I give it a 3.5.
The season or the episode?
The episode. Oh, do I have to give a season rank as well?
We'll do that later, but okay. Episode first.
Yeah, 3.5. Because I did find it very entertaining, but I felt that the reveal and all that, like, I found it so convoluted. And for it to be sandwich of all things to be said when describing the person killing you, like, it just seemed like, okay, girl.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
sure.
I didn't mention that because it was the sandwich order that gave it away to Bunny. She remembered Poppy 14 picking up
sandwich
14
because
sandwich.
Number 14 was the liverwurst and marmalade sandwich.
Yeah.
And I just, like, okay. It was a fun episode. I was entertained throughout. I just thought that the explanation was just needlessly complicated.
Fair. Tristan?
I love that Tyler, you and I seemingly approached this specific series in exact opposite directions. Because I'm like, this is like a 4.5 because this is the most interesting this show has been. The funniest it's been all season, I think. And they really let it all hang out, and it was really goofy and weird. And to the point of the sandwich thing, I love that because that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I think it should be that dumb, you know? But I understand not everyone feels that way. The scene with Will and Oliver genuinely made me misty-eyed as well. Seeing that arc complete, I was very happy about that. I think we were even talking about it last episode, where, like, Charles's whole sort of character arc doesn't have the same depth as Oliver's and Will's stuff, and then also with Mabel and Alice, because Alice is such an obnoxious character, you don't want to end, like, if they'd cast a different person or asked the person to perform it differently, like, you would be like, oh, I'm so happy these two are together. Whereas at the end, I was like, why is she ending up with this gal, this is bad for him. This isn't gonna last. But yeah, I really enjoyed this episode in particular. I thought it was quite fun and funny. As far as the reveal goes, I think, I don't want to like rewrite history, but I think I remember last episode, I was like, it makes sense that it would be Cinda, but it's kind of a boring choice. So it was nice that I was like, and this is often what happens when I'm watching these things. I'm like, wouldn't it be fun if it was this? And then it, like 7 out of 10 times it is that. And this was, I think Poppy being the murderer had come into my mind at one point, but it's Scooby-Doo, you know? It's the person that gets introduced at the beginning that kind of gets shoved aside, and then at the end it's old Ben Jenkins.
Oh yeah, that's true. It is Scooby-Doo. Yeah, I think that I'm in the middle. I give this one a four. This episode is a 4 for me. It was really fun and entertaining episode. I didn't think that the murder hung together quite as well. The motivation was a little bit, I mean, it makes a certain amount of sense, but gosh, it's hard when a person kills for a reason that doesn't have, that's not personal. Poppy didn't kill Bunny for a personal reason of Bunny, like between her and Bunny. That doesn't work for me as well. But it was very surprising to me. It didn't occur to me that it would be Poppy. That was a fun reveal. Her being the girl that Krebs is with, as opposed to Cinda, honestly makes more sense. But also,
that was a mystery to me. That still haven't solved.
Sorry, Tyler. You've never encountered two crazy dirtbags in love before.
Usually it's one or the other. I haven't encountered two. Not together. Not yet.
Let me tell you some.
You gotta go out and do more comedy, my friend.
And let me tell you some true crime stories.
Well, I've heard of these people, but I don't know these people.
Yeah, well, count yourself lucky that you don't know them. I didn't see that coming, and that was a fun reveal. Although it was a little confusing to me that it was revealed kind of at the time that they were getting arrested. Because I was like, wait, it's Poppy, then what about Krebs? And then there he was, but like, I wanted that in the parlor. That was a little strange for me. It didn't work quite as well, because if you're going to do a parlor reveal, do a parlor reveal. Don't just show me them in cuffs and then like do it as a little addendum. It felt like an afterthought, and I didn't love that. But yeah, still, it was a 4. It's very interesting. I just, last season was mwah. So it's hard for me because I'm comparing it to last season. And that said, I also would give the season overall a 4.
Out of
5.
Oh,
okay. If we're doing the season out of 10, then I guess I would give it an 8. Maybe a 7.75 or something like that.
So what rating are we system are working with here?
Whatever you want.
Okay, great. out of 10, I give it a 6. It was fun. Like, it was fine. Like, I might go back to it at some point. I might not. It was entertaining when it was entertaining, and when it wasn't for me. Amy Schumer where? Amy Schumer why? I also felt that Steve Martin's Charles, like, had simultaneously far too much, and so the impact overall was so little. Mm-hmm. Like, he had the daughter, not daughter, the wrap-up of his relationship from season 1, and the dad thing. Mm. Like, there was just too much B-plot stuff going on for him instead of one consistent thing like Mabel and Oliver.
Mm.
So I think that's where things kind of got muddied, and maybe next season things will be set at a different pace.
I feel like that's a really good observation.
It is. Yeah. I'm amending too. But please go ahead, Tristan. I'll amend after.
Oh, sure. I think like a 7, 6.5, 7 out of 10. It's the show, I think, is at its best when it's three goofballs in a bad situation. And I think, like, again, this episode was so goofy, and that's what I like about it. Here's kind of my hot take about this both seasons I've seen. They should be movies. This, because it feels like they don't have enough time. It either needs to be 20 episodes or a movie. They have this 10 episode run, which means they can't do filler episodes really, but they can't have it clip along. It just, I feel like it would be better served if it was like condensed or made longer. I think the amount of episodes is confusing because, like, in the middle of the season, there, when they were putting the clues together, a thing that all three of us kind of said a fair amount was like, yeah, this was fine, but like, we're not getting the pace is slow. And also, it's not very funny. So it's like, it really kind of dips down and it comes back up, right? So if you had been able to kind of cut that or add more in the middle, I think it would have been better. But I enjoyed it. I would like if someone had it on, I wouldn't say, ugh, this again, you know? I'd go, oh yeah, this bit's good. But it's not gonna become like a comfort show. But it's a really fun, good show overall, I think. Wouldn't complain if I was on it. You know, I wouldn't be like, oh, what a piece of crap, you know?
Right,
Or I wouldn't
no.
complain if someone made me watch it, like, for example, maybe two more seasons for a podcast.
Something like that. Yeah, I think having kind of sat with that and listened to you, I think it is more like a seven for me ish. Maybe a little under seven. Yeah, what was Amy Schumer even doing there? There was too much filler. I agree with a lot of that, but it's definitely fun. And the performances, I have to say, are really lovely. I don't think that we're lacking in the performances. I think we get some really fantastic acting. And I really love that we get some character actors and some stage actors having some moments on TV. So that's very nice.
Prediction for
Yeah.
season three, will we get less problematic actors to contend
Well,
with?
I
I don't know,
mean,
Meryl Streep's in it.
Oh God, it's a wrap. No.
I mean, universally beloved Paul Rudd. So I'm looking forward to that because also I just love him. Even though he's dead already. I
Or is
assume,
he?
or mouth blood. I mean, mouth blood. Honestly,
Working on my mouth blood, the way the payroll is for
no, yeah, it was under 6 seconds. You're good.
that.
We don't have to pay royalties. This is a podcast. We can say or do whatever we want. Are you kidding
I
me?
can't sing a full song in a podcast, I'm sure. Someone will come
Yeah,
after me.
you'll be fine. I could drop the whole of Beyonce's album right now in the edit, and then it would still not get taken down.
No, Beyonce will come and find you.
Okay, because
For
like, well,
our finally, I'll
maybe
have her
then that's how
number.
we entice people.
Keep forgetting about the Amy Schumer thing. It's so wild. It's like a weird. I don't get why she was there. It's deeply frustrating.
It makes no sense.
Oh right, Melissa. I believe the series is a prequel to what we just saw. I believe the series takes place during the year and the rehearsal process of the play. So there will be more Paul Rudd.
Oh, I thought
Yay!
we were just
More
getting
Paul Rudd. Better ill,
flashbacks. Okay.
Paul Rudd will be there.
More Paul Rudd. More Paul Rudd.
Ready or not.
Oh.
I'm always ready. I love him.
Polish off your jokes somehow.
We
But
will be
what's coming
back.
up next for us?
Yeah, I think we're
Are we
gonna.
doing?
I think we had discussed this, but number one, we gotta do Ladies Man because we gotta put Melissa through that.
Sorry,
Okay,
but like that has to
but you got
happen.
it. Number
Okay.
one. Number two, I think we were gonna go finish up Guaro.
Yeah, we're gonna do it. People, I know you've been clamoring for some of our faithful listeners are clamoring for us to finish Poirot.
Yeah, I mean, that led the poll of what is our favorite season of Only Murders. It's like, let's go back to Poirot,
As
please. Oh
someone
my
who voted
gosh.
for, let's get back to Poirot.
Okay, fair enough. We branded ourselves as Poirot. We're gonna give it to you, but
And
we're
follow our
also.
socials for polls and things to give your input on what we should do sometime.
Yeah, we are going to sprinkle
I
other stuff in here and we'll come back to Only Murders for the folks that like to listen to us because we cover Only Murders in the Building.
I'll say this as well. We should do Attack the Clones for it.
Sorry,
Attack
what?
the Clones is a mystery film. I will die on this hill
For May.
Okay.
For May. For Star
Okay.
Wars Day. The Star Wars.
In my head, I was like, Attack on Clones has nothing to do, but I was thinking Attack on Titan. I was like, what are you talking about? But
No, sorry.
that was a me problem.
That no, that's my fault because I generally say Star Wars Episode II: Attack of the Clones, and that is something you've grown accustomed to when I've referred to doing it for this podcast specifically. But
Okay,
yes.
so I guess we're gonna do Attack of the Clones. Finally, we're gonna give in to Tristan.
In theaters.
Maybe we'll see it in theaters. Goodness. That actually sounds fun. Well, that was fun. We did Only Murders in the Building season two, and now I call this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to a close. I can do that, right?
Gavel sound.